Hey, what's your problem? You have business problems? We have business solutions.
Huh?
Well, maybe.
Maybe.
Life exactly. is a fight. In business, every day is a fight.
Yes.
So, hey, what's your problem?
Thank you, John David Wells. Check him out at the Wells Report. He's the big voice behind the podcast here. My name is Jim McCarthy, and this is the What's Your Problem podcast coming from the Big Dot HQ in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Check us out at big.lighting.com, big.electrical.com. And if you have anything electrical, you know, problems or otherwise, let us know. We'd love to help you out. The What's Your Problem podcast is about business owners and business professionals around the Middle Tennessee area. We're talking to people from Columbia, from Franklin, from Spring Hill, all up and down the 65 corridor and heading out to 840. We've got somebody coming up in a few episodes from, actually, at this point, it's going to be past. So this is what happens when you record them and have to go retrospective. From Murfreesboro, of all places. So check that out. Once again, I am your host, Jim McCarthy. Today, very excited to have this guest in studio. She is part of my BNI. We network together. We've been doing it over Zoom for the past almost year. And I believe this is the first time we're actually meeting in person. So the cool thing about it is that she has a background very similar to mine. This, whenever we get to talk shop, I get very excited. So please welcome to the podcast, Athena West with Franklin Lifestyles Magazine. Athena, how are you?
Very well. How are you? Thank you for inviting me.
Not a problem. Thanks for coming down to the compound.
Of course.
The one way we're starting to introduce a new little feature that I'm excited about. And it's going to be called, it's inspired by one of our previous episodes with Marty Ray. He has something on his podcast. His podcast is called Marty Ray Project Chats.
Okay.
And he calls it the Fast Five, but I'm going to rebrand it.
Okay.
And call it just simply five random questions. We even have a new music bed for it.
I'm ready.
Athena, what's the most essential part of a friendship?
Trust.
Trust. Nice. Oh my gosh, this is a long one. I'm going to skip this one. Take too much time to read. Do you eat food that's past its expiration date if it still smells and looks fine?
No.
Okay, that was number two. Number three. What do you think of homeschooling?
It is not my jam.
What's your favorite smell?
I love the smell. I just bought an Aroma 360. Shout out to Aroma 360. So I love the stargazing scent.
Nice. What does that smell like?
It's just refreshing.
Nice.
Actually, believe it or not, the whole system, you could buy the luxury hotel system, and it's patterned after all of the scents in the Vegas hotels. So I happen to have the scent for the Wynn.
And, no, really?
I really do. The Wynn Hotel.
How about Mandalay Bay?
No, I didn't like
the smell
like that
of
one.
Coconuts. That's what it smells like out there.
The Wind is the one I like. That's stargazing.
We'll have to remind me to cover that topic real quick. Right. What is the most amazing slow motion video you've seen?
My son, who taught himself how to skateboard, and he can do all kinds of tricks. So I have him, no lessons, going over like four stairs, three stairs, six bricks. I got video to prove it.
Very cool. Finally, what game do you wish you could act out in real life?
What game?
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a cool game. So, little known fact, my husband is a European board game fanatic.
Really?
So we have about 300 European-style board games in the closet that I don't love to play. But there's one specific game that's like, it's a volcano type game, and you have to save yourself from exploding in the volcano.
It sounds like Jumanji or something.
It's not Jumanji.
Not Jumanji, but it rings similar to it. But thanks a lot, man. That's, there we go. A little bit of a winter scream there. So we have a very similar background. I was in radio. You were in television. You did a little radio as well. You made your tour around the country doing all the different markets and everything. How did you get into that? How did everything begin for Athena West?
In television?
Just done everything. You're getting out of college. Right, I mean, so is this something you've always wanted to do?
Yeah. So when here's the story. When I was in college, I had two majors in human relations. One was for profit and one was nonprofit. Mm-hmm. So I did an internship at nonprofit, and then I went for a for profit business internship, and I landed at a television station. Right. But I wasn't in the on air section. I was in the admin side. Right. Well, I ended up making friends. This was in Greensboro, North Carolina, because I went to High Point University.
Nice.
cool. Yeah. So I was at the TV station. I ended up making friends with some of the reporters, photogs, and I would just follow them around. And then eventually I would just listen to them interviewing people, and I would make my own stories, and then I would shoot my own video. I would write my own story. Then I would go into the edit bays and I would edit it myself and write it myself. And before I knew it, just for fun, I ended up with a reel. And then I ended up being, they asked me if I would be a morning producer. Mm-hmm. I hadn't even graduated college yet. So I had a job. I would go to class and then I would sleep. And then I would wake up for the morning show as a part-time producer.
Yeah.
And then the day I graduated, I went straight from getting my diploma. I took a nap, and then I went to work at the TV station. Well, I ended up doing producing. Then I ended up getting an on-air position in Erie, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. then an on-air position in Roanoke, Virginia. And then I decided I didn't want to be the next Barbara Walters. And there's just a lot of glitz and a lot of glamour in television, but it's not really what I want. It's a little catty, so I left.
Right.
Did a short stint in public health, moved to Tennessee, and I was like, what am I going to do now? And so I decided, well, I love writing. I love telling stories because that's the part of news that I like is the good parts. Mm-hmm. I like the E-block of the television news,
right.
And the E-block is the good stories. So I ended up buying a magazine so I could tell the good parts and the good stories without having to get through the A-block
So these are kind of advertorials in the magazine. Is that what they call them?
No.
Okay.
Advertorials are paid advertisements.
Right.
These are organic stories about the people, the businesses, the community, and the things happening in Franklin.
In Franklin.
And Leaper's Fork.
Now, getting back to your broadcast career, how long did that last from when to when?
1998, and then I quit and left in 1997 through 2001-ish. I don't know.
Okay.
I have to look that up.
Right, right. And it's interesting because, I mean, I started in around 96, 97 mm-hmm. and stayed in until about 2013. And got out and went into the car business of all things. So, yeah.
Well, when I went back, I'm talking about the radio, I would go home for the summers and I ended up in New Jersey. I ended up being an on-air personality for an AM radio station, and I'd have to like plug in the, you know, the different 8 tracks. And all that kind of
stuff. So they were still old school back then.
I don't know. Some AM station and like it looked like the back of someone's house.
A lot of AM stations, technology wise, never really got much of an upgrade.
I know.
They still have like the rotary knobs on the board and stuff
I don't even remember. That was so long ago, but I would have to like, you know, read the AP and find stories. The whole thing was just silly.
Yeah. Yeah. We had two AM stations, but they were the bastard stepchildren of the group that nobody paid attention to. And, you know, it was a lot of local stuff. They were based in Putnam County, New York. And one of the sales guys would have, he would do local high school basketball games. Mm-hmm. And somebody would have to board up for him. And probably nobody listened to it.
Yeah.
It was just one of those things,
Well, this was in New Jersey. So you're talking about New York, and I was in New Jersey doing this radio.
Which part of New Jersey?
Yeah. So it was in
Northern or?
No. It was in Netcong area. So Bud Lake, Netcong area.
What is that Southern New Jersey?
No, that's like Northern New Jersey.
Okay.
But nonetheless, that's where I was.
Right.
I was there for.
So not too far out from the city.
45 minutes.
45 minutes drive or so. Yeah, we were about an hour outside of the city as well in mm-hmm. Danbury. With aspirations, I always wanted to be, Howard Stern's imaging guy, go in there and produce all of his imaging. But then I moved to Vegas and had perspective.
Right.
And never wanted to move back to the Northeast ever again.
No, I left when I was 17 and never really went back.
Yeah. So you're from the same part of the country I am.
I was born in New York, and then we moved to New Jersey when I was 10.
Right.
So I was raised in New Jersey. And I left to go to college in North Carolina, but I would go back for summers. Obviously.
Sure.
And that's how I had that radio stint for a while.
Where in New York were you born? Brooklyn.
I lived on Brighton Beach, first place. I even remember my first phone number.
Cool. Me too.
I totally do.
It's actually kind of a passcode, so I won't say it here.
Ah, okay.
No, but I do remember it.
I had a 212. Yeah. And so I remember my first, but I was born in Brighton Beach.
Yeah. I've never been there. No. Here's the funny thing. Out of 25 years of me living in Connecticut and being raised there, 9/11 happened the first year we moved to Vegas. So 2001, we moved out there. And, you know, as we were 3 hours behind, I see the minute I woke up and came back from my jog, none of the radio stations were talking about it yet.
Uh-huh.
So I come back and turn on CNBC because at the time I liked watching CNBC. Go figure. Still not good with money. But anyway, one of the towers had already fallen, uh-huh. and the other tower was about to fall. Uh-huh. And as soon as it did, I was literally looking at it going, oh my gosh, is that the Space Needle?
I thought
it was the Space Needle. I had no idea what was going on.
Sure, sure.
And the anchor at the time, he says, well, the New York skyline will never be the same ever again. I'm going, oh my gosh,
that's
what
New
happened?
York, yeah.
I had never been to the Twin Towers.
Oh, no.
Never, not even with a stone's throw.
Oh, okay.
So it was one of those things that's like, yeah, you know, I should probably go see these things.
I should go do it, yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it was, so growing up outside the city, we had Nelly's in here, which is a local pizza place. They're from Brooklyn too, I would imagine. I think. Is that what they said was Brooklyn? You got to go?
Sure.
Okay. So they were from Brooklyn. The father moved down here and started doing pizza, New York style pizza here in Nashville. And it's just amazing stuff because it was always tough to find pizza down in Vegas and down here. Good pizza, at least, you know, because up there you could throw a stone and find good pizza.
Sure.
Took it for granted. So moving into getting into Tennessee, mm-hmm. and doing all this stuff, did you have the same kind of dynamic between sales and programming that we had in radio?
Well, in television, I didn't do sales, or
right.
I was on air. And so I have no idea how the right. sales went for television.
But did they kind of butt heads with sales, with on air? Maybe that was a radio thing.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, radio. No. We had always like these deep divides between the sales department and programming department.
Oh no, not at all.
Because sales would want
to. At the very least, like there would be like sort of a banner at the bottom if there had to be for sales. But I was just, those of us in the newsroom were just so in our zone. We were just trying to figure out whatever the stories of the day were going to be. And we were giving our updates to the story, who's doing a live shot today? And are you going to do are you going to do VOSOTs or what they were called?
Yeah.
Like VOs and all that kind. So just communicating with the assignment editor and kind of just stay on track, because in news, like you're going live whether you're ready or not.
Yeah.
And so
you're on.
We're literally in our zone. So
yeah.
I have no idea what sales was doing.
I worked for a news talk station in Vegas. That introduced me to talk radio and things of that nature back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
So I went from rock radio in Connecticut. You might have heard of it. I mean, it was 95.1. Did you guys get that signal back down in North Jersey?
Oh, gosh.
I-95, the home of rock and roll.
I was stuck in my dad's zone. He was a professional musician, so
right.
I could tell you all about the big band era.
Oh, okay. That kind of stuff, right?
That's how I grew
Very
up.
Very cool.
That's right.
So getting into, you know, with radio and the division of sales and things of that nature, you get out of it. And in 2001, you said?
I left television, in like 2001.
Did and dabbled in radio thereafter a little bit and went into healthcare.
It was before.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, I did radio before during the summer. I left and then I dabbled in healthcare after I left television.
And then, because I actually was going to go into TV.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting.
Oh, okay.
Does that ring a bell?
No.
Or the Connecticut Schools of Broadcasting.
Uh-huh.
One of the things that was near the campus where we went to class was ESPN.
Oh, okay.
In Bristol.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, I had my interests in getting into television, but radio got me first.
Oh, very good.
And I stayed with it. It was good. It was fun.
Yeah.
I was able to kind of flex my muscle and be creative. Similar to you, I started in the production room, and after the production director would leave, hang out and learn all the equipment.
Build
promos and voiceovers and stuff.
Well, I've always had a saying that knowledge is power, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, it was like, well, if I'm here, I might as well learn about the industry, right? Whatever that is. Mm-hmm. And so I'm always trying to, you know, be a jack of all trades, master of none. So I learned how to run the video. I learned how to, they call them one man bands, right? So
yeah, utility player.
My sticks. Mm-hmm. Which was like, yeah, you'd have your sticks and your microphone and your camera. And I was able to do all that and write stories. And that was really important when I went to the smaller stations, because that's all you were. Like, you had a you were lucky if you had a photog.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But I had to shoot my own stuff. And, you know, people would say, you are doing, I'm doing it all myself. Like, you know what I mean? I'm like, knowledge is power, man.
I'm wearing numerous hats and not getting paid for even one.
No, I do get paid. But.
Well, barely one. Yeah. That's the thing is about broadcasting, where you and I came up, it just didn't pay.
It doesn't pay a whole lot. There's I have a lot of fun stories, right?
Yeah.
Not everybody can say that they've, you know, done stories literally on Lake Erie, or that they've been behind the scenes, or that they've been, you know, part of, you know, that type of stuff. But there's a high burnout rate, because there's a saying in television, and the saying is, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yeah.
Right?
Sex sells.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, no.
That's what I was taught in Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I heard if it bleeds, it leads. And then somebody else said, sex sells too. Okay. So put it at the top. Okay. It's so true. But I mean, I did the same thing in Vegas. The trade-off was, hey, well, we know you have a passion for this, so we're going to, you know, basically draw that out of you and pay you very little. But hey, you get free tickets to stuff and all this other good stuff, and you get to meet all the celebrities that come through. It was a fun time in life, you know, for my wife and I to be single. Well, not single, but no kids at the time.
Sure.
No real obligations other than a house.
Mm-hmm.
But it taught us a lot about perspective. So getting into the magazine...
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're really talking about is not only owning a business, but selling. Yeah, you know, when you own a business and you bought into it, you said, because this was existing.
It was existing.
Okay. I know I've seen it before.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Blake Shelton there, guys.
It is a franchise. You can go to Boulder, Colorado, and you get Boulder Lifestyle. Buckhead, Georgia, you can get Buckhead Lifestyle. So there's 100 franchise around the country. I own the Franklin franchise.
Right.
So I am not in my garage putting these together. I knew I wanted to own something, but I didn't want to have to necessarily reinvent the wheel. Plus, I get to do the good parts. I get to do the good stuff, which is, you know, I have my staff, and I have my editors, my writers, my photographers, and everybody is local. But I get to tell the stories of the people in our community, the things happening in our community. So I get to do those things that I enjoy, and I get to do it in a way that is digestible and fun.
Yeah.
And it's uplifting. And for me, that's the best part of what I do, because I am a writer at heart. I love hearing the stories of others. I could have been a sociologist, and I get to do that and tell part of my love, which is the storytelling part, to the community.
Right. Do you have anything that, in terms of sales or anything, you know, did you have to engage in that and actually get, or did you already have an established client base going in when you bought the brand?
Well, at the end of the day, I mean, I do have, you know, folks that I reach out to, businesses that may or may not be a good fit for who we are.
Right.
It's a specific, you know, demographic and that type of thing. But no, I mean, when I meet with businesses in the area, for me, it's an honor and a pleasure, because they're investing part of who they are, part of their marketing budget, part of their planning budget in me. And they're investing in me. They're not necessarily, they're investing in a magazine, but they're investing in me being part of an extension of their marketing team. So a lot of them reach out to me because we are, you know, the pulse on the community.
Right.
And for me, that's an honor I don't take lightly.
Right.
Because these are businesses, and I'm a small business owner too. And for me, it's important to make sure their needs are met. I really am I'm just here to serve whatever their needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it be, you know, a story on them, featuring them as the expert in whatever field they're in, whether, you know, the interior designers or the builders. The stories we tell are not, you know, here's this business and the 10 reasons why they're awesome, right? That's just a glorified ad, right? For me, it's using the local businesses in the area as the experts. So So if, you know, utilizing a dentist, I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't tell a story on a dentist on the 10 reasons why they're awesome. I'll tell a story on a dentist on how they give back to the community.
Right.
Right. Or on a, you know, pick another category or industry, the things they do for our community and how they embed themselves in the community. Because at the end of the day, their moms and their dads and their husbands and their wives themselves, and they shop where we shop, right? And we're all in this community keeping it alive together. And for me, it's an honor to be able to tell the stories of the people and the businesses themselves.
Well, it's the eternal balance of mass media, and it's attracting eyes and an audience and things of that nature.
Sure.
In order to get some eyes on the advertisers, which has always been a challenge, at least in radio, you know, because I mean, if you left it up to the sales department, they would plaster the entire radio station with nothing but ads. But, you know, at the end of the day, the listeners aren't going to listen to nothing but ads. So you got to have that balance. So, I mean, you have to come in there and find, from your journalistic standpoint, the story that's going to get interest and people to look at. I mean, the pictures in these types of magazines are always, you know, completely high quality.
Sure.
You got the high gloss pages and everything. And it's typically a magazine you would find where?
So these are delivered to homes in the area.
Right.
They're also in Whole Foods, and it's also in doctors' offices, attorneys, lawyers, any place where there's going to be residents.
Right.
And so the, you know, the fact is Franklin Lifestyle wouldn't exist without the businesses who believe and support local business as well. And
right.
So it is, you know, again, they've, the local businesses are what keep our community alive.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah, they're spying.
And so without them, things like this wouldn't exist.
Mm-hmm.
Things, you know, and telling the stories of the people and, you know, everybody from the mayor. It's just, we're all a community within a community. And it's so fun because they get to, they generally all end up communicating with each other, right?
Yeah, it's like another network.
It's literally a network. And when we have events and parties, it's so fun to see them say, you know, hey, you know, this one did my veneers, or, you know, I have a couple clients who work in the home industry, and they're going to be working together. And it's all because they're part of, we call it the Franklin Lifestyle family. And
right.
We really are a family. They know they can call upon each other to help each other, which is what I've tried to create as an energy. And I've been able to do that. And then people enjoy getting it and reading it because it's just filled with, you know, different topics every month.
Got to get some down here. Can we get put on the delivery list? Or
sure.
Might as well. I really enjoy looking at them.
Well,
they're fun
you.
To look at. Whenever I'm in a doctor's office or something, it's just, you know, you guys know the kind of magazine we're talking about. It's this right here. I'm holding it up.
Oh.
We got Blake Shelton on the cover along with Scott Hendricks, who is a producer, I believe, here in town, right?
He is.
And, you know, again, you just kind of flip through. I like looking at the houses. You know, these really huge houses that I can't afford right now, but, you know, someday, you know, the Sotheby's type of ads, and it's just vibrant pictures and good stuff. And I can't talk great enough about it.
Well, thank you.
Moving into it was 5 years ago. You said you won't.
No. So it launched about 5 years ago.
It really? So, okay.
It launched 5 years ago. I wasn't the original owner.
Mm-hmm.
The original publisher moved. And in order to, you know, really have your pulse in the community, you have to live here.
Right.
So it was an existing franchise, I guess, and I bought it.
So how long have you had it?
2 years.
2 years. Okay.
Yes.
So coming.
So we built it up. You know, it was kind of just, it was really, really, really tight then. It was not that big, but in the 2 years that I've had it, and not that this means anything to anybody, you know, in the world, but out of the 100 that are out there, this is the number 2 magazine in the entire country.
Really?
The number 2 lifestyle magazine in the entire
country. In terms of circulation?
Just circulation, just all of the things that bring it, you know, it's just the second most, you know, it's just number 2 in the company, which is fine.
Now, what attracted you to it in the beginning, and what you found that it was for sale?
Well, so here's how it happened. So I was getting it in the mail. And when we moved here, I was like, well, what am I going to do? I don't want to go back to television. I don't want to go back to healthcare. So I was getting it in the mail. So I called them up and I said, if you're ever looking for a freelance writer, I am available. Well, one thing, you know, cut to the you know, cut 6 months later, I was like, I ended up just buying the whole thing.
I'll just buy it. So they moved out. What kind of challenges were they having at the time? Any?
Just time. Yeah. You know, there is, you know, like I said, my background comes in storytelling.
Yeah.
And if you start with that, the rest comes naturally.
That's right? Advertising 101.
You know, I really enjoy telling stories and finding that story behind the story.
Yeah.
Right? And really listening to what the community or what a specific business needs. It's not just, you know, here's what I can do for you. It's not them. Here's what I can do for you.
Yeah.
But what do you need from me? How can I help? And so each of them in the community that reaches out to me have a specific need. Some are really looking for branding. Some are looking for, you know, social media. Some are looking for connections. And I'm really listening to their individual needs so that I can serve the community or the person or the business the way they individually need.
So you do it smartly. You have the social media aspect as well that goes in conjunction with us. So you have the...
many things. So it's the magazine plus social media, plus everybody gets their own web link.
Right.
Yeah, on our website, citylifestyle.com, plus it's events, plus it's warm introductions, plus it's all of that. Like, you can't a la carte being a part of my sphere. You're either getting all of it or none of it. And for them, it takes a load off of there. It helps. Many hands make light work, right? So I am part of their work.
Yeah.
I do some of the heavy lifting for them.
They seem everywhere. It's funny because you seem like even you've got publications like the Nashville Business Journal, right? That's out of central Nashville.
That's so weird. I know this is going to get edited, but I was just nominated.
Good.
By Nashville Business Journal for something.
They're always nominating somebody.
What is that?
Because they've got all sorts of awards and events to sell and promote and everything.
I don't know, but somebody nominated me for something and I'll have to find it. But I was like, what? I don't know. I got nominated.
How could you not nominate Athena West? I mean, come on.
I don't know. I have to look it up. You can edit that out.
That's fine. It's fine. The Nashville Business Journal, what you look at a lot of the stuff that they feature, you see a lot of the same people over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. Is that the case with you? Or you kind of have a pretty good variety of people that appear in the magazine?
We have a very good variety.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not just one or two types of industries. It's every industry. I mean, everything from, you know, I get calls from businesses that are not even local because their data says there's a direct pipeline between here and, you know, like the beach or whatever. But, you know, at the end of the day, our target market are the homeowners.
Yeah.
So we're looking for local events or stories or things happening that would appeal to the homeowners. So everything from interior design to new kitchens to pools to landscaping to lighting.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure.
Our demographic are homeowners in the area and not visitors, right? There's room for all. There's enough for all, right? Mm-hmm. So there's, you know, essentially what I am is I'm just a branding mechanism on steroids.
Right.
I may or may not be the right branding mechanism for a local business, and that's totally fine, but I'll help find that right fit for you if I'm not the right fit.
Well, I mean, a story wins the heart before the mind decides.
Yeah.
You know, that's advertising.
Well, you know, and like I said, at the end of the day, all of these local businesses are ours that we shop from. Our kids go to school together. We all are here in this community.
Yeah, they're familiar. Hey, I've been there.
I know. I recognize that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the guy.
If
it's a doctor, you know, I always use this example with healthcare. You know, sometimes men are afraid to go to the doctor. But if it turns out that this specific doctor has the same hobby as the potential patient, that may be the thing that gets them in the door.
Isn't that
not
funny?
The white jacket, right? Yeah. They're never going to go with the white jacket, but if they find out that they have the same clay shooting hobby, that's rapport there. And that makes that doctor real, not just someone in a white coat.
Now, with the amount of people that read the magazine, was there an increase in readership once you took over? What were some of the challenges that you had coming on board?
I didn't really really have any challenges. It was just getting the community to, like, who is she, right? I had just moved to the area. I didn't really have any challenges so much as embedding myself in the community as a voice of the community, right? Yeah. And so it was just learning the names and the faces and the players, right? And earning their trust.
Right.
That I am a safe place to land and that I'm here to stay and that I am who I say I am, right? I'm not some fly-by-night person who's trying to, you know, just be here to show up big. For me, it's gaining that trust of the community. And it's nice to get phone calls at this point from the local, you know, the administration and say, you know, hey, can you do us a favor? Yeah, we can totally do you a favor.
Right.
Right. To the mayor's office and things like that. It's a pleasure and an honor.
So you have any aspirations to maybe have a podcast series to go on?
No.
Franklin Lifestyles podcast?
Right. I get asked to be on podcasts all the time. So, right. It's like how it's using my time, right? And I wish I could, you know, the name of this podcast is What's Your Problem, right? I wish that I had another me, right? Because I wish I could do all those things, but I'd rather do, I like to be on podcasts, but I'd rather not host one right now.
You just got to find somebody who can put it together for you. You just record and they just put it out for you. I may know somebody.
Then it would use my name. But when I jump into things, I jump in 100%, right? And so I would want to be able to put 100% into it. So, but I already have a voice, right?
Like
between the social media and this and the events and stuff like that.
So you're doing video content and everything from the constructs of the magazine as well.
Like what kind of video content?
I mean, you know, is it fully produced? Is it, you know, Instagram kind of story content?
Instagram stories, gotcha. Instagram static posts, everybody, you know, on everybody's individual web link. If they've got a blog, they can put their blog up. So everybody gets a featured link on our website, which is phenomenal. It's basically a landing page for anywhere in the United States. And it aggregates, you know, again, local businesses, things to do, places to shop. And it's correlated with this.
Do you have other people who are writing in the magazine as well?
Or is No, I don't write the stories.
Okay.
I have my staff. So Maria Denoya is my editor, and she's amazing. She's the one that, you know, she's the my partner in crime. She's the one that gets all the, she does what a typical editor does, and she's just fantastic at what she does. And I trust her, and we both keep our swim lanes, right? So she does the editor part. We will sometimes come up with story ideas together if we know of things that are happening. And then she assigns, I have my writers and my photographers. So we have my staff.
Your clan.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a plan to maybe have, you have Franklin Lifestyle. You could technically do Cool Springs and Brentwood Lifestyles too, could you?
Well, Brentwood Lifestyle already exists.
Okay.
Owned already.
Same construct or different?
Totally the same.
Same.
And that's what about the people and the places in Brentwood?
In Brentwood, yeah. Uh-huh. What about like Murfreesboro?
So if anybody wants to launch Murfreesboro Lifestyle, that's fine.
Laverne, Smyrna Lifestyles.
If anybody wants to launch Smyrna or Laverne.
Is there a Nashville? Fine. There has to be a Nashville Lifestyle. Really?
No. There's not a Nashville.
There you go.
Well, I mean, you have to remember that, you know, there is a Nashville publication, but we don't, you know, we would go to a section of Nashville. We're not going to take the entire Nashville market.
So you do like the Gulch or something like that.
Yeah. So something like that, urban Nashville, something like that.
You know, we could use a magazine like this is Columbia.
Well, Spring Hill, if anybody wants to do Spring Hill and Columbia Lifestyle, that's fine too.
Spring Hill, put them all together. Just bunch them together.
Well, they're about the individual communities. That's the whole concept.
Jen's rolling her eyes. Why are you rolling your eyes over there?
There's been so much in Columbia that they've tried to do from like the Mule Towner, which was an online.
The Mule Towner.
Very similar to like yours. This is a sign up. They market. They give you a link under the website. Like all of that. But there's been so many different people trying to do the same thing that it gets lost. And everybody's like, well, where do I look? What Facebook page do I look on? Where can I find this?
So it's confusion.
It's so
confusing the markets.
It's just, yeah.
So getting back to the basis of this show, let's go ahead and maybe if we recovered.
What's talk about your problem?
So Athena.
Uh-huh.
What's your problem? Is this the most interesting one-to-one you've had with a B&I guy person?
Sure.
Thank you. That's what I look for.
So I've been thinking about this, and I don't really have any problems.
You've got something going on. Everybody does.
The only problem, like I said, is
scalability.
I wish there was a second me.
Right.
Right? Because no one can do what I do the way I do it. Right. They're going to do it with their own spin and that type of thing. But I just get such pleasure and joy from the whole thing that sometimes I wish that, this is going to sound so trite, I wish there were more hours in the day. But yeah. I do. For me, you know, this is, everybody has hobbies, right? Like whatever your hobby is, whether it's knitting or board games, whatever. This is my hobby.
Right.
Right? I get such pleasure and joy from this. Like I don't garden. I don't cook. This is a hobby for me. So it's not work. It's
play, yeah.
It's so much enjoy fun, it. And I get so much pleasure from it. And when I don't get pleasure from it, that is when I have to be careful. If that time comes where I don't get pleasure from it, then I'm going to do what I have to do to make sure that, you know, the legacy that I've created continues, because mm-hmm. so much trust has been put in me and that type of thing. But it's just every day I wake up and I'm like, all right, what's, you know, what can I do today? How can I serve today?
So in terms of building it into like an empire here locally, it's not really, it doesn't really appeal to you because it sounds like it'd just be more work and not be fun after a while.
I don't want to spread myself too. For me, this is enough, right? I get to, this is enough, and it allows me to be at whatever the, if, you know, since we've been sitting here, like my phone's been blowing up and these are clients asking me, hey, can you do me a favor? Blah, blah, blah. Yes. And I'm going, when we're done, I'm going to be able to say yes. And just, right. And when I get, if I ever get inundated, well, that's going to show, right. Yeah. When we're all overworked. And for me, it's a pleasure and a joy. And I don't ever want it to be. So I don't really have any problems, I guess. I just always want to make sure that I'm giving 100%. And that, I guess, could be a problem, right?
Yeah,
like to be able to shut it off. There's my problem. I have a hard time. It's like therapy. I have a hard time shutting it off.
Right.
Because it is so much fun to be able to, you know, shut it down on vacation. Even when I'm on vacation, I'm still thinking. Right. Yeah. Oh, I have this great idea.
That's your purpose.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it is. And that resonates with people, right? And because of that, they're trusting me, and I love it. I just love it. So my problem is shutting it off. There you go.
Shutting it down and trying to get away and have family time and all that fun stuff.
Yes. And so my kids are, you know, they're fine. I mean, they're older now and they get to see, right? I was home for a little bit and in between healthcare and moving here, or healthcare for a bit. And then we moved here and then I got this. But, you know, they got to see what stay-at-home mom looks like and they got to see all that. But I wasn't my full self. Now I'm all those things, right? I I'm showing them what that looks like, that you can be a female business owner and that you can, you know, be a leader in the community and they can see what that looks like. That, you know, just this morning I was picking up something for gifts for clients and people were hey Athena, how are you, right? And so for me, they get to see that I'm a change agent in the community and I'm doing it in a way that's altruistic.
You're
a
connector.
Authentic. Yeah. And so they get to see that themselves, which I hope will stay with them.
Yeah. So you're in B&I. Your asks every week are what? So every time, for those who are listening who aren't familiar with B&I, it is a networking group that we belong to that every week we all get together. In our chapter, we have about 66, 67 members
Something. And
guests that come and visit the meeting every week. And we go around the room, so to speak, on Zoom at least, and put a 30-second commercial out there. And we ask for certain types of referrals and things. So what have you been looking for as of late?
So for me, it's based generally on the themes of our issues. So like we're working on our January wellness issue right now. Mm-hmm. So any people in the community or businesses in the community that might have a wellness need or a business that is wellness driven, mm-hmm. or a story that is in the community that's wellness driven. February is our arts and makers issue. So that would be, you know, people who are inventors or writers. March is our home issue. So that is showcasing businesses or people in the community that are in the home industry. Right. So generally my asks are for businesses or people that are theme based.
So are you doing kind of like, hey, we'll put an ad in this issue because it's going to be heavily in your industry and in your best interest to at least get some face time in the pages of the magazine because we're doing this.
Yeah.
You could do one and dones like that?
No. Okay. We don't do that because this is marketing.
Right.
All right. Marketing 101. It does take between 4 and 6 times, unless you have a service that's call to action, right? Like if it's the middle of July and the mosquitoes are biting you,
right.
You know, you don't really think about pest control or mosquito, you know, spraying unless they're bothering you. And that's call to action. We will do some of that. We are long game branding. So, right. You know, if you're going to buy a pool, that usually takes discussion and budget and, you know, more discussion at the kitchen table. And it's going to take about 4 to 6 times marketing wise for someone to be like, oh, that business looks familiar. So we're long game play. We're not short game play. So that by the time someone's ready to pull the trigger on buying that pool, your business will be top of mind. Or plumbing, right? People don't generally, you know, need a plumber until they need a plumber. Yeah. But what are they going to do next? They're going to go to the plumbers that who? Sound familiar.
Yeah, that have won the heart.
Yeah. So, you know, if you use Coca-Cola as an example, when everybody thinks of soda, what's the first?
Coke.
Yeah, of course. You might not even drink Coke, mm-hmm. but that's marketing. Coke has made themselves, you know, a happy place. You might not even like Coke, but
they own that category for sure.
So I'm long game play. So we don't do one and dones. We do long game branding.
Right.
And then we infuse in social media, a story, web.
Legacy advertising. The only prices I'm seeing in here are on houses.
Yes.
Which is fine because, I mean, that's the first thing you look at. When I'm looking at a really nice glossy photos of homes. Let's see, from the Warren Bradley Partners here. They
I'll have to tell them.
Yeah, I mean, they're basically, you know, oh, that's a nice house. How much? And that's the first, as a consumer, where my eyes go. I want to know how much.
Of course.
And then I look the square footage and where are the pictures that I can look at. You know, but I mean, those are the only things in here that have a price on it. It is very relational driven.
Of course.
You know, not transactional at all. Here's a 40% off plus free installation. That's kind of transactional. But that's okay. Closets by Design.
So my job is to get them to your website and your job, as if you're a partner, you know, like I said, my job is to help your name sound familiar.
Absolutely.
Long game play.
Yeah. And it's the thing, you know, like anything else that you do and you're doing it across all sorts of different platforms, not just the magazine.
Not just this. We're hitting.
That's awesome.
In today's society, you've got to hit them in all social media, all the things, right? And so we want to make sure that we're not just a one trick pony. We're all of that.
Right.
Right.
Do you guys have an app? Ever thought about doing an app maybe?
What? A city lifestyle app?
Yeah. The, you know, Franklin Lifestyles app where maybe it's almost like a collection of all the advertisers are right there, or maybe they can get it delivered.
Well, that's what City Lifestyle is.
Okay.
That's what City Lifestyle is.
Gotcha.
CityLifestyle.com.
Right.
You can localize it to whatever city you want. So if you localize it to Franklin, it'll pop up with all the businesses that are part of our sphere.
Well, right on. I appreciate you coming out here all the way down to the compound.
Of course.
Is there any, how do people follow you, Athena?
So you can go to Franklin Lifestyle Mag on Instagram or on Facebook, citylifestyle.com/Franklin.
Right. We'll put all those in the description as well.
Yeah. So Facebook, Instagram, social media.
Do you have your own personal brand that you put out there too for yourself?
No.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I told you, I am the brand.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
People can contact me through email, you know, because I am here for the public. So my email is in there as well. Google it. You can Google me.
Where's the office downtown? Can people just come up and grab a coffee with you?
I do have office space in Franklin, but generally, like, I'm out in the community. Right. I'll meet people where they are. I love, you know, like I said this morning, I was at Franklin Bakehouse. So right. People, you know, I'll just meet people where they are.
Franklin Bakehouse, where are they? That sounds good.
Downtown Franklin.
Downtown. Yeah. Is it around the 4th Avenue area?
Yeah.
Off the main drag?
Yeah, just off of the main.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's where I was this morning.
We just did a job for Pedego Bikes up there. You know those guys?
Yeah, that's like a mile from my house.
Oh, really? Okay, yeah. Go in there, you'll see some of our lights.
Oh, so, nice.
Yeah.
Very good.
Good before and afters from bigdotlighting.com.
From Pedego.
Well, thank you again for coming down here. I hope you had fun.
Yes,
not a problem. Not a problem. If you guys want to continue listening and find out more about us, go to whatsyourproblempodcast.com. Give us a like and a subscribe, rate and review. Even if you hate the sound of my voice, I want to hear about it. So let me know and rate us, but be sure to share out and subscribe and all that fun stuff. Again, Athena, thank you for coming down here.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.